turn today to the book of Luke chapter 15. I want to read a very familiar passage. I know that we've read and studied many times, but I feel like I need to go to it again and look at it because it's something maybe we hadn't got from it. But we'll read the entire chapter, chapter number 15 in the book of Luke. That'll get you another chapter in reading. If you mark it off, well, you know, 2 weeks from tonight we have the Lord's night for the reading the Bible through, okay? So if you hadn't read this one, you mark this one off with me, all right, this morning. And pray the Lord to just help us, all right? Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through verse number 32. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth. He's lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, That thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Father, I pray this morning for extra grace and strength and leadership. I pray that we'll rightly divide this scripture and help us today where we're at, getting close to the end of the year, close to Christmas time, and time we know set aside for our Lord to be born. He was born on a day. We don't know for sure the date. But still, he was born that he might die on the cross of Calvary. So I pray you just help us to lift you up. And you said if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. And I'm looking for that. And I pray that somebody can get hold of some truth, the last little piece of the puzzle that they need in their lives to see to come to you, that they might be saved by the grace of God And we'll thank you for what you do. Help us today. Let no one quench your spirit. We'll praise you and be careful to give you the glory for it. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. What title I'll use today is the parable of the lost and found. The parable of the lost and found. As we look at this, we have a preconceived idea about God, especially when it comes to salvation. We've all got preconceived ideas about that. And basically, most of them are wrong, if you please. We think God is ready to, big old God out there, a big old bully, and ready to zap us out the first time we get out of line. If that's the case, we'd all been zapped out, wouldn't we? Amen, because we've all been out of line. But still, our Lord weeps over the lost. The Bible said in Matthew 23:37, I believe he's weeping in this verse, as he looked over Jerusalem, probably standing on the Mount of Olives, and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I wanted to gather you, wanted you to come in, but you wouldn't move toward me. And I believe he wept over those lost people that day. But yet he celebrates when one is saved. He celebrates when one is saved. His pain is deep over humanity and lost condition. And his joy is full when a sinner repents, according to the parable. Now, this is a parable. A parable here in Luke 15 that really reveals the Heavenly Father's compassion for lost sinners and his rejoicing over their salvation. In other words, a parable is a window through which to see truth. And therefore, this parable is one parable, not three parables. Some people would call each part of this a parable, but he said, I speak this parable unto you. I speak this parable unto you. So it reveals the Heavenly Father's compassion for the lost sinners and rejoicing over their salvation. So it's not three, but this gives us a window into the heart of a loving God who pursues lost souls. And what the Bible said in 2 Peter 3:9, last part of it, he said he's long-suffering, not to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the setting is familiar as far as the setting here. In verse 1, listen to what they said. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, the setting, they came to understand. Jesus had told them before, you know, Matthew chapter 13, that if you have ears to hear, let him hear. And a lot of them went away and said, that's a good story. But they didn't understand what he was saying. But the disciples came and wanted to know more. And many times the publicans and the sinners, as he talked about, and a publican is one that's considered the height of the depth of sin, I guess you should say, instead of height of sin, but the greatest sinner of all. But yet they've come and wanting to know more about what he's saying. What I don't understand it. I want something from you, is what it amounts to. And these publicans and sinners were criminals, robbers, thugs, harlots, other riffraff. That's a Jewish term for the people who didn't want to follow along with the Jewish law in that sense. They made no effort to live by the standards of Jewish law. And the Greek construction indicates a continual action, meaning that such people came to Jesus as a matter of habit. Everywhere he went, the publicans and the sinners came to Jesus for understanding is what they were coming for. They wanted to know more about what he was saying. Now, verse 2 gives us something else. He said, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, the religious crowd, they too was around many and continuously was with after Jesus, but they began to grumble because they were troubled. They were so hopelessly preoccupied with the trivia of the law that they couldn't, had no time to be concerned with serious sinners, nor could they stomach a Messiah who was popular among the outcasts of society and who at the same time was critical of the tradition of the religious crowd. And that's what Jesus was. He was telling the truth is what he was doing. Therefore, Jesus, knowing their hearts, rebuked them with this parable that contrasted their self-righteous attitude with the Father's tender compassion for the lost. Now this parable, one, like I say, not three, but one, three parts, reveals he loves sinners. God loves sinners. He pursues them and longs for them to be saved. Now you notice he said, even the Pharisees said in verse 2, this man receiveth sinners. The continuous action verb there receiveth. It means looking for. He was looking for them, and he welcomed them to come to him. He's jubilant at the redemption of even one lost sinner. He has joy. And so therefore, we see that we'll break this down and look at the three parts of the parable that Jesus has taught. One parable, but three parts here. The first part of the parable is verse 4 through 6. I'll read that again. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Now, this phrase that starts out here is, "What man of you?" That means, what man among you? And now he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes there, that as much as anybody was concerned, because I know the publicans was there to hear him, but still, he's talking to them. But what man of you? It means, what man among you? That implies that the compassionate behavior he describes would be expected of even of a common sheep farmer, a shepherd, that he would have compassion on that one that was out there lost, if you please. No shepherd worth his salt would sleep satisfied with 99 in the fold and one left to be devoured by the varmints of the night. No shepherd would be satisfied. Therefore, he would leave the 99 safe in the fold. They were safe inside the fold. And he'd go out to search for one lost sheep. And when the shepherd in the parable found the lost sheep, he carried it on his shoulders, with the belly of the sheep being around his neck, and his legs, hold of each four legs, and had it pressed to his chest. Get the picture, little head of bobbling as he brought the sheep back, as he packed the sheep back there, snugly against his chest as far as the legs were concerned. Now, verse 6 says this. He said, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." So it's calling of his friends to celebrate with him, shows the depth of his joy of finding his little one lost sheep. He could not just quietly rejoice in his heart. He had to share it with others. And then the Lord spelled out his point in this parable, in this part of it, in verse number 7, when he said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now, everybody needs repentance, but he's saying they don't think they need repentance. But he rejoices over one that repenteth. In other words, when one sinner repents, God calls for a celebration in heaven. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, he's a seeking shepherd whose desire is to rescue lost sheep. That's the first part of the parable. The second part of the parable here is found in verse 9, about the 8 and 9, about the lost coin. When he said this, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." In other words, the same point is made in this part as in the first part. And in other words, just a different illustration. One's about the sheep, one's about the lost coin. Lost sheep, now about the lost coin. But this woman searched until she found the one that was missing. And when she found it, her joy was as great as the shepherd's joy over one lost sheep that he found. Like the shepherd, she called a group of friends and neighbors together to share her joy. Then the Lord spelled out his point again in verse number 10. When he said, "Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." In other words, when one sinner repents, God calls for a celebration in heaven. And I've heard many, and you've heard it too over the years, people say that the angels rejoice in heaven when one is saved. That's not what it says. It said there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. But the angels, it's not them rejoicing. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, he said, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was, which it was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels do not understand salvation. They've never received salvation. They're just God's chosen created beings is what it amounts to. And so they're not rejoicing over one soul that's repentant. It's joy in the presence of the angel over one soul that repents, if you please. And so what is it? It's the triune God rejoicing, the Father who planned it, the Son who provided the sacrifice. And he said it's worth it if it's just for one. And he's rejoicing. And then the Holy Ghost, who produced it, is rejoicing as well. So you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost rejoicing in this parable, is what the picture is showing, a window through which to see truth. And so therefore, Luke 19:10 says this. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, he's the one who came to seek and to save. And when he does, he gets beside himself. When he saves someone, he rejoices. And you know what I think he's saying? He rejoices. Ah, there's one the devil didn't get. One the devil didn't get is rejoicing over that. Amen. Now, I know you're to seek the Lord. I understand that. But I want to tell you what. If God wasn't seeking you, you'd never seek the Lord. God's seeking you. The Lord, he's like the shepherd who sought the sheep, has compassion. Like the woman who sought the lost coin, has compassion. It's a picture. It's a picture here that he's talking about. Now, the third part of this parable, which is the rest of chapter 15, I'll not read it all right now, but it's talking about the lost son. So the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, all in one parable, all three parts dealing with that, if you please. Now, it's a lost son. It's not a backslidden son, as most people try to preach this parable. But remember, it's a story. It's a parable. It's a window through which to see truth. And you can't take every word and just hang on it and hang a doctrine on it and say, well, it's backsliding, because he already called him a son. He's showing the fact of how the Father has compassion on seeking on sinners that he seeks out and really saves in that sense. And so verse 24 gives us a proof text of this. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they begin to be merry at that particular time. Now, more detail is given in this part than in the first two parts of this parable here. But it all makes the same point. The loving Father is God, who rejoices to see the homecoming of a son that was once lost. The first half of the third section focuses on the depraved behavior of the younger son. And verse 12 says this, "The younger son of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Them, not just the one son, but both of them, you see. It's unheard of in the Jewish culture for a son to ask his father for an early inheritance. In other words, that would be equivalent of saying, "I wish you were dead, Dad. I wish you were dead. I want what's mine coming to me." But the father did not refuse the request and punish the son. Instead, he was gracious. He gave both his sons their shares of the family wealth. No doubt he feared the son would squander it, and that's exactly what he did. Because he went to a far country, he blew his money through loose living and wound up so poor he had to feed pigs to get by. In other words, that was the way he just got by. Really, it wasn't a living. He just got by. And you know, for a Jew feeding a pig, that wasn't too good, because that was an unclean animal. And so, but at any rate, he fed them, and he was so hungry, he wanted to eat the husks that he fed the hogs. Now, I don't know, get the picture of this. Some people say, well, he just ate the things the hogs ate. Well, it didn't say that exactly. It just said he desired to eat that. But the husk is like the chaff. It's the pig. You ever been around a pig? I mean, he'll go through there and he'll jump, jump, jump. And I know he gets some husk inside, but a lot of it's out here laying around the trough. Right? Because he don't eat that. And that's what he looked at. And he said, there's no nutritional value in it. But he was so hungry that he said, man, I thought that'd do me any good at all, I'd eat that husk that the hogs won't even eat. That's sort of what I get out of it, okay? Now, others may get something different. That's okay. But I believe he was so hungry, he so desired that,
that ate, but really no nutritional value. But in other words, really doesn't say he did eat it, but he desired to, because he was so hungry. Now, whatever the case is, he came to a place where he came to his senses, came to himself. Sorrow over his predicament brought him to his senses, because in 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Now, the sorrow itself is not repentance, but it led to a deep repentance. So there had to be a sorrow first, a deep, settled grief over his sin and what he had done against his dad. And he began with a sense of his need, as he saw there. Verse number 17 said, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" In other words, he came to a sense of his need. He admitted he had done wrong against the human father, his own human father, and against the heavenly father. And he freely acknowledged his own guilt before God in verse number 18. "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.'" In other words, he's determined to ask forgiveness and to take the consequences of his guilt. Verse 19 said, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants." In other words, now the prodigal was willing to serve his father as a bond slave, which was one lowest form of slave. And that's what we are to Jesus. We're supposed to be a bond slave to Jesus. That's what the word servant means in that sense. And having resolved to go to his father, he then acted on his decision. Verse number 20, he says, "And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Now, but before the young man got close to home, guess what? The father saw him coming, because he was looking for him. Now, God the Father knows all about you. He knows exactly where you're at, okay? But his father saw him and came running to greet him. Me, and if you look at the distance, I believe that his father made more covered a greater distance of ground to get to his son than his son was covering at that particular time, as weak as he was at that time. That's the picture of the seeking heavenly father as he ran to greet him. Instead of punishing the wayward son, the father ordered a banquet to celebrate his return. Verse 23 and 24. And he said, "Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And he began to be merry. So the issue is not a wasted inheritance in the dad's mind, not a condition, in other words, that you're in, but is, in other words, it's not a life squandered with loose living. He didn't talk about that. Come as you are. Whenever the Lord comes to where you are, you don't have to worry about your loose living and life of debauchery that you had in your life. But his lost son had been found. That's where he's jubilant about there. All three parts of this parable have a common theme: a seeker finding that which was lost and rejoicing at its being found. The shepherd, the woman, and here the father of the son here. And in every case, the seeker is God, who rejoices over the salvation of sinners. Now, in the last half of the third part of this parable, we see the Pharisee is really a Pharisee is described in his jealous older brother, as he said in verse 25 through 27. "Now, his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he now hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry." He was angry at that time. Well, that's part of all I wanted to read right there. "But the jealous son would not even go inside, for he was not about to eat with a sinner." That's a Pharisee, a picture of the Pharisee. He's playing the part of a Pharisee. This son's behavior might have been socially accepted by the Jews, But his younger brother's debauchery would not be accepted by the Jews. They didn't accept that, but Jesus taught this here. But both were lost. The prodigal son and also the elder son, both of them were lost. And the father sought him as well. He sought the prodigal, but he sought the elder son. Because look what he said in verse 28, "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him," begging him, seeking him, the lost elder son, if you please. The Lord always seeks the lost, but they must see themselves lost. And that's a work of God to bring you to that place. Oftentimes, it's the publicans and sinners who are quicker to understand their depravity and realize that they're lost, while the self-righteous Pharisee continues as he always has. That's what he said in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 11 and 12. Another parable, the window through which to see truth. A publican and a Pharisee went up into the house to the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed this, and then verse 11 says this. He said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself of Luke 18. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He compared himself among himself, and God said, that's not wise. And he said, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, that righteous Pharisee continued as he always has, with his self-righteousness, if you please. But the first son in the story saw his sin. He felt his father's sorrow. He repented. He humbled himself and received forgiveness and entered into his father's joy. And the second son was bitter, unrepentant, with no sense of the cold deadness of his own heart. And as a result, he was just as lost as the younger brother had been, but he didn't see it. And guess what? Only one of them was saved. The other one wasn't saved. This parable of lost and found, with its three parts, of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, is a threefold witness of God's love for sinners, in that he seeks them out. And when they're found, they're saved. They're saved. And the triune God rejoices in heaven. He's happy. He's jubilant. You know why? Because I believe he said, there's another one the devil didn't get. Folks, you realize something? The Lord is seeking. I must needs go through Samaria. I dealt with last Wednesday night. And he needed to go through Samaria, that woman at the well. And he must need, and it didn't say it this way, but he desired the maniac of Gadara. He went to where he was. He traversed a larger place, space of time, a space of distance than the maniac of Gadara did. He went to where he was, you see. And so therefore, you think about, the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, it talked about when Jesus came on the scene, of course, and some of them realized he was the Messiah. But after that, Andrew had went and find of Philip, he's looking for Philip. And the word means he was looking, he was searching, find it. And then it says that Jesus went and findeth, he findeth Peter, his brother. But Jesus went and looked for his, foundeth Philip. You know what that means? Jesus knew exactly where Philip was and what was going on in his life. Didn't nothing take Jesus by surprise. And he was searching for him, yet it's written for our benefit, because he knew exactly where he was at. And when the time was right, he landed up right on Philip's front porch, I guess you could say. And there he said, Philip, I'm him. And revealed himself to him. And Philip followed him the rest of all of his ministry. Folks, I want to tell you, this parable tells us that Jesus is the seeking. He's the seeker. He's seeking it. Yes, you're to seek him with all your heart, but he enables you to. And when you get there, you'll have to say, he did it all for me. I did absolutely nothing. To God be the glory. But there's the jubilance of the Father represented in the chief, the shepherd. When he found the sheep, brought him back, and he joyed over it and called everybody to rejoice with him. And then there's the coin that was found. The woman rejoiced, called her neighbors, and they rejoiced. And his joy in the presence of angels in heaven, as did the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. And this is the picture of the lost son, that the Father went and rejoiced, and rejoiced over him being saved. And folks, I want to tell you what Jesus is rejoicing over what he's doing. Is nothing taking him by surprise? You think he's not working, but he is working. You think he's not on time, but he's right on time. And he will be on time. And when it's time, he'll findeth you. You say, well, I was the one looking for him. No, the only reason you're looking for him is because he's already planted something in you, a drawing in you to bring him to him. But yes, you're to seek him with your whole heart. But you'll find he'll traverse the distance like this broom. You might get a third of the way, and yet you may not even get that far. But he'll come running, and he'll kiss you on the neck, put the ring and the robe and shoes on the feet. Kill the fatted calf and rejoice that my son was lost is now found. And I'm looking for the Lord to get joy, have joy in the presence of the angel over somebody in New Hope Baptist Church getting in, being saved by the grace of God. You know what he's rejoicing about? Hallelujah, there's one the devil didn't get. And that's what we're looking for. Well, he knows all about it. Nothing takes him by surprise. But I want to tell you, the Father loves you. The Father is seeking you more than you're seeking him. And he'll do what he said. He that have begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Christ. And he'll rejoice. Joy in the presence of the angels over one that repenteth, because he works it. He did it all. He's the one that gets all the glory. But he's the one that does the rejoicing. He does. And yeah, you'll rejoice too, but he does the rejoicing. That's what the parable is about. Father, I pray today that we know we've got to get to the place to end.